Hello? There'll be a wrap-up session as soon as I can get everyone's attention, sorry. Sorry? Okay, so we've reached the end of today. So we've got a quick wrap-up session, and then it's off to the pub, and later on we've got the session back here at 7 o'clock. I've got a bit of a confession to make, because I've not actually been to half of the talks. So it's a bit difficult to summarise all the talks when you haven't been to them. One of the curses of volunteering for this is I've been running around doing everything else. So I'm hoping that I can kind of crowdsource the wrap-up and get all of you to kind of say what the favourite bits of all the talks were, what are the most important points that were made, and where we still have speakers around, hopefully get them to kind of give a two-sentence summary of what was said. So kind of from the start, Cory Doctorow has actually given his one-sentence summary already just in the programme. Just kind of being a beloved institution will get you through times of no money better than money will get you through times of being an irrelevant one. Does anyone have any comments about his talk, any particular favourite bits of it? Or were you just kind of completely awestruck throughout it? Have we got any microphones? Can someone run around with microphones?
I've got a very large, loud voice.
That'll do too.
Thought it was absolutely excellent, some of the points he made.
What we're hoping to do, and we've got audio recordings of, hopefully we've got audio recordings if they all worked, of all the talks, so we'll put them online. And it would be good if presenters could also make their slides available on Slideshow, so we can share those as well.
Thank you.
Anyone else got any comments on Corey's talk? You were just completely awestruck throughout it.
If you're in the glam sector, I think everyone's been scared witless over the past few months, and it's been quite difficult to be optimistic about anything at all. And it was really encouraging to have something to be positive about, and an approach and a state of mind that may well see us through some of the toughest financial situations that any of our institutions have been in.
I think it was brought up in Corey's talk about the Digital Britain report and Beale, but the government's look at copyright issues is worth people doing something about now, because they are looking at it, and I think they're looking at it quite hurriedly, and maybe they will do good things, but they are, well, it's worth trying to talk to them.
Well, I guess they'll do good things if the museum sector makes them do good things.
Yeah.
Sorry, at the back.
Just something I was going to say earlier on. One of the issues that was brought up with regards to basically museums or politicians not wanting to release their stuff for fear of satire and embarrassment. It's probably worth remembering that if people want to take the piss and create satire, then they're going to do that whether you've got copyright or not. The fact that you release something, they'll go out of their way to embarrass you, you know. Don't feel that they're going to be put off by a little C in the corner of a picture. So,
was there a comment? Yeah. Anyone else? Or was that kind of summing everything up? So the next session was all of the Wikimedians. We had them all up on stage, and all but two of them were male, which is a bit embarrassing, but probably accurately represents the Wikimedia divide, unfortunately. Does anyone have any comments about that?
Sorry, I was going to make a comment on that last bit. I find copyright issues, I switch off after half an hour or so of the typical copyright discussion. I've been in far too many of them.
How do you cope on Wikipedia then?
I think there's I think there's a huge opportunity for interaction and cooperation between Wikipedians and the GLAM sector. I took part in the Hoxney challenge thingy, and the cooperation on advice on information is, there's huge opportunities there. I think we should maybe concentrate a bit more on that and accept that there's going, until the accountants do the sums and work out the benefit to GLAM of releasing medium resolution images, until we wind up with a couple of institutions saying, hey, we've made a huge profit by releasing all these medium resolution images and cleaning up on high resolution income, until that happens, we're not going to see the museums doing that. Once they do, they will. So let's concentrate more on the other opportunities for cooperation.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit of a chicken and egg kind of scenario.
Sorry. Can I just add to that as well? I'm here from the university sector, so I'm very much kind of taking a broad view. I help out with our museums, libraries and galleries and archives as well. But you can tap into the resources in the education sector as well, because we're all in it together. We all have the same issues. I'm the corporate officer. I'm churning out guidance to our students and our staff. So I'm more than happy to kind of collaborate, come alongside, whatever. But just think about, tapping into the academic sector too, because we use your works and we want to use your works for educational purposes. So, we all have a unified aim here. And I think that it's going to be really useful in this IP review, whether or not, anything comes of it or not. But if we can all be sort of singing from the same hymn sheet, because we all have the same issues. And I think it's going to be really important to prove to the government just how much and how valuable our assets are, not financially, but culturally. And it's really important for that. So, I think that's...
Maybe we should be running EduWiki next year.
Yep, at the back.
Hugh Corley, English Heritage. I just to go to Jocelyn's point about the Crown copyright, I was very pleased to hear that's now into open government license, and that is
fantastic news
and something I was completely oblivious to. Mm. And I suspect a large portion of my organization isn't particularly switched on to yet either. And as somebody that, as an organization that puts everything into Crown copyright, it's really good to see that basically all of the legwork of making it more available has now been done. Is just getting the data out of our organization now that is really going to be where the work's going to go, hopefully, and making it more available for people like Dan to work with, as well as Wikipedians, would be absolutely fantastic from my perspective, and something that really hope we can start to see and take advantage of, because I think that just as with the libraries and archives and museums, English Heritage has a vast amount of interesting information available to go onto Wikipedia and look forward to it. So.
On the theme of copyright, does anyone have any other comments about any of... Any important realizations that you had from the three talks that we had, from Corey's, from Jocelyn's, and from Matthias's? Or is it all at the back?
I'd just like to say I'm impressed. I was with the talk on Europeana, which is I didn't know about, and it seems to be an amazing resource. I'm looking forward to using it more. It sounds fascinating and really a symptom of how things are opening up and changing. And you can see in the direction everything's moving.
One thing that's definitely becoming apparent is there are lots of silos of information which are being opened up now and are freely available, but there's not any obvious kind of ways to find out about them almost. European is one, the open copyright, open government license is another. There's others as well coming out all the time. So I don't know how it's best to keep on communicating those, whether something like this is good for that, or whether there's other forums which that communication can happen in. Just something to think about.
There's a very good research paper, by the way, called The Silos of the Glams. Which
was it written by you?
No, it wasn't written by me. Which... on that basis.
The Creative Commons license. CC0, yes.
Martin Dummers can talk to that one especially well.
The CC0 license was available on Wikimedia Commons already from the start, I guess. This week we changed the default licensing from own made work to be released in the public domain to CC0 on Commons. And I just put up a note in the Village Pump to try to switch on other projects too. So if you now upload something to Commons and you say, hey, it's my own work, I want to release it in the public domain, it will be CC0.
On the basis that some countries, for example, Australia, public domain doesn't exist as a license that you can put something in. It is merely an expiration. So it's not necessarily obvious that content that you can say it's in the public domain, even if you personally choose to put something in the public domain. So CC0 is a much more legally viable way of doing things globally. And that's now the default in Wikimedia Commons.
In the middle.
Also on copyright, I think we're glad and we're encouraged to hear from people talking from around, people's perspectives from around the world, that Creative Commons licenses are legally enforceable, and in many cases the legal system and the courts have been ruling in favor of recognizing all the Creative Commons licenses and its terms. So it's encouraging news to all of us who use the licenses.
Shall we move away from copyright? Move on to the Wikipedian in residence. Matthew, could you maybe sum it up in two sentences? No.
Didn't tell curators they had to do one specific thing in terms of this collaboration, and we didn't tell Wikipedians they had to do one specific thing. It was much more of a light kind of herding thing going on, and that worked really well because no one felt under pressure to do anything specific. Like, you're going to, you know, we didn't say to the museum curator, you're going to edit this article, and we didn't say to, you know, we just said, why don't you go and talk to a Wikipedian and see what happened? So I think that was the success of it.
So one thing I'm wondering is kind of what is the path forward from that? Are there obvious offshoots from that in the individual events that could be spun off into other locations, or the concept as a whole being transferred onto other locations? Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
Sorry, I'm slightly ranging back to something Matthew was presenting earlier on today.
Sorry.
I'm from the National Gallery, and we have an incredibly small team there. So on one side, it was very interesting to hear about the benefit of working with you guys in terms of improving the quality of the range of entries within the system. What I think was very striking, though, would be an argument that senior staff at the gallery would be, I think, would go against partnership working in some degree, would be, we're still very driven by the idea of driving traffic to our own sites. And I think what Matthew alluded to in the stats was that although you are a significant referrer, even after the fantastic work that's been done in that collaboration, it didn't spike up dramatically. And I think there is an expectation that in any partnership working, part of the driver is to increase traffic. Although I do entirely accept that the entries were greatly improved by the collaboration. So public value was definitely served in that respect.
Yeah. With something like the British Museum, with its huge range of collections, and there's a huge number of articles already on Wikipedia for that museum, That means that a lot of the links that would naturally be formed and be popular are already there almost. Whereas if you're a smaller organization, if you don't have your contents very well represented on Wikipedia, then you probably can see huge impact just by getting that information out there onto Wikipedia. I'd be interested as well with the British Museum, kind of what other properties the people visiting from Wikipedia actually have. I believe they stay around sites longer than most. They have more active interest. It would be interesting to see whether, if there's more information available on Wikipedia, does that mean they spend more time exploring it on British Museum site?
Yeah, I get access. I've seen British Museum Google Analytics and have mapped that to Wikipedia Analytics. And Wikipedian visitors to the British Museum website stay there longer and look at more pages. So the average number of page views on the BM for people who've come from the article History of the World and the 100 Objects, so that group of people who have clicked through in that path spend an average of 9.5 pages on the BM site, which is a lot. An average of 2 or 3?
No.
6? Okay.
That's really interesting because that measure of engagement does have value.
But that's the kind of statistics that you have and we don't. Right. We don't have access to your Google Analytics. But we did find that, for example, and this no one knew this, the single most click-throughed article from Wikipedia to the British Museum is not the article British Museum, it's not the article Rosetta Stone, it's the article Crystal Skull. which is an object, it's a fake, you know, it's in the Living and Dying Gallery upstairs, because in last year when the Temple of the Crystal Skull Indiana Jones film came out, that Wikipedia article was hit millions of times because of the pop culture interest. People were Googling and Googling Crystal Skull and hitting the Wikipedia article about that object, probably unintentionally, but there was a corresponding spike in click-throughs to the British Museum that is entirely, here are these thousands of people who would never have known about this, that they've Googled a pop culture film and in two clicks are in the British Museum collection records. And you can predict that if you know, so.
Bruce.
Well, that's National Gallery, not National Portrait Gallery. We did run the stats, and now the National Portrait Gallery images that under contestation are seen on Wikipedia 23 million times a month.
There's two things. One is to answer your point as well, which is the success or failure of click-throughs in Wikipedia. I'm not sure that measuring the track back from Wikipedia to your site is a particularly effective way of measuring engagement with your stuff in the Wikipedia platform, and that's the thing, is that slowly but surely, and I'm sure MCG people, when they come along later, will be able to talk about this a bit more as well, and there's a big metrics project that we're running with several other institutions about what makes for a successful museum website. But part of that is letting things that belong in a platform live in that platform. So if your stuff is working on Facebook, yes, it lives on Facebook, and that's not referrals necessarily back to your site, but the fact that it's getting seen in that platform is the most important thing. And interaction inside that platform is the most important thing that can be happening. So it depends on, first of all, what you think your website is for, and secondly, if your website is doing the job that you're asking it to do. And thirdly, if Wikipedia can do some of that, some of your stuff, in a different way or to the way that you would be doing it, so that the impartiality can lend better understanding to some of your objects. And that's, you know, Wikipedia isn't going to try and pretend to be your website, so maybe there needs to be a case made within the institution for understanding the function of different sites for different purposes a bit more. The point that I wanted to make about Matthew's talk was that I know that at Culture24 we're very keen on supporting this kind of work within smaller institutions, You know, the big guys are more resourced for this. If there is anything that we can do in helping to facilitate relationships, we probably need to talk more to Liam and to other Wikipedians about how we might be able to help, but we are interested in helping make that happen.
Just to answer the question earlier, I'm Richard Rant from the British Library. Quite a number of our curators are interested in, they'll be very interested in the speed dating session tomorrow, but unfortunately we're not going to be here. But I will pass on that we are interested in having a challenge or some kind of editathon looking at some British Library objects and improving Wikipedia articles about some materials we've got there. So we'll be speaking with Michael more and on later and trying to arrange something early next year. Right?
That's fantastic. It's also the first time I've actually heard someone say Wikimedia whether we mean Wikipedia. It's normally completely the other way around. That's quite nice. There are some questions, some comments at the back.
One quick point on the issue of museum links and so on. There are obviously articles like the Rosetta Stone and so on which only exist in one particular museum, but there are other subjects where actually there's a whole bunch of different museums that could have got the links from the Wikipedia article. And one of my interests is Easter Island. I think there's only one museum in the world which has got the little wooden Easter Island statuettes available as photographs on Wikipedia. It's a small museum buried in a suburb of Buenos Aires, but that's the museum which is going to get all of the click-throughs from Wikipedia's article on these wooden statues, because that's the one museum where there are photographs that could be taken that have been put up there. Same thing applies with paintings of people and so forth. If you've got the only painting exists of a person, then yes, you might be able to drive it to your museum. But if there are a dozen art galleries that have got a painting of that person, if one of them releases it onto Wikipedia, that's the one that's going to get the links.
Yeah, I guess it's very much first person past the post wins.
There is an example. I don't know whether everyone went to the talk on the Bundes Archive. Is that today or is that tomorrow? I don't know. Anyway, basically, the Bundes Archive released around 80,000 images to Wikimedia. And an example of how they have now become the primary source of an image was one of the German chancellors. I can't remember the name. But basically, now they've released this, what is the only image of this German chancellor that has now become the internet standard for that person and is used all across the web and only now exists because of the Bundes Archive donated their images. So, you know, there is precedent that this does happen and there's, you know, there's still potential for this to happen with, you know, numerous other people with numerous other institutions. So.
I think there's also examples there of people from England who the Bundes Archive have got an image of it, released it, and that's now the canonical image from Germany, which is almost a bit embarrassing. So we're running out of time. So we've already talked about copyright, so I won't mention that again. Wikipedia for Librarians and the Bibliothèque Nationale de France. Can speakers give a one-sentence summary of that really quickly?
I won't talk about mine. I'll talk about the Bibliothèque Nationale de France, which followed mine. And I think what particularly came out of that was the success in getting the Bibliothèque Nationale interested and the need for more preparation for a great amount of work on Wikisource for using it afterwards. And again, what comes out of that is the need to get the community interested in using the materials that cultural organisations are providing on to Wikimedia. It's the need to get communities interested and the need to get information about this and metrics back to the organisations so that they go on doing it.
Okay, thank you. I've just been shown a picture of a furry penguin on a phone, which I think is Liam telling me that it's
showing
time
you the
to
time.
Wrap up. Okay, that explains that. So have we got time just for a quick summary of the other talks? particularly, well, the last three were History of the World in 100 Articles. Would you be able to give a quick summary of that? Two sentences, at most, one sentence.
Two sentences. We went through the 100 Articles, which is basically the due to Liam's visit and the British Museum project, it went on up until tomorrow, when there is another article put on the web. There's 100 articles actually improved. One point which I failed to mention, which I really wanted to, we had a conversation with my group explaining about New Zealand. And when I spoke to New Zealand Museum, they told me that Creative Commons is now recommended by the New Zealand government, and they're actually being required to do that as part of their work. And I think that's very nice, nice bit of news. Thank you.
Thanks. Is Daniel Pett still around?
Yes.
And can you give a couple of sentences summary?
Archaeology as a future and digital community actually contributing to what we're doing.
Nice, short, to the point. Okay, and the last one, Josephine and Martin and Frank about the Dutch projects. Any one of you?
We also had a mystery guest, Johan from Open Build. We discussed three of our partnerships we did in last year, the partnership with the Tropen Museum, with the National Archief, and with Beeld en Geluid, Sound and Vision, and the lessons we learned from these projects and how we might continue these partnerships.
Fantastic.
I think the Dutch are the most active country community in all of Wikiland in terms of cultural sector collaborations with free culture. As much as we've done in England or projects with Smithsonian or in Australia, the Dutch seem to be leaps and bounds ahead of us.
Yeah, we need to catch up with them.
Yes. Over there?
I think about that last talk, I think one of the most interesting things I heard there is don't forget the community, involve the community in your projects. And that's, I think, a lesson well learned.
Okay, I think we've run out of time now. A couple of things I should mention. One is just to retweet something that Mia said on Twitter. I think there's going to be a gathering in the museum's tavern nearby from the museum's computer group as well as here. Need to be back here for 7 o'clock for the start of the evening event. And if you're not coming to that, then you need to be back here at 9 o'clock or 9:30 for the start tomorrow morning. And one other thing, if you paid by cash today and you want your receipt, let me know on the way out. That's about it, I think. Thank you.